After graduating from Brigham Young University with an undergraduate degree, Elder Groberg received his MBA from Indiana University, where he also taught. He is a native of Idaho Falls, where he worked for many years in the real estate development and construction business. He was called to be a member of the First Quorum of the 70 in April 1976. He was previously the executive administrator for several areas of the church, including Hawaii, Tonga, Tahiti, Fiji, Samoa, and Micronesia. He also previously served as president of the Tonga Mission. He served in many area presidencies and now serves as president of the Utah South Area. Elder Groberg wrote an autobiography entitled In the Eye of the Storm about his experiences as a missionary in Polynesia. A movie based on the book will shortly be released. This morning we have the unique opportunity of hearing from Elder Groberg as well as some others he has brought with him today. We'll now turn the time over to Elder Groberg.
Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. It's a beautiful winter day. We are happy to be here. Jean and I met at BYU on a blind date arranged by our sisters, both of whom are here this morning, who played violins together in the BYU Symphony. It was our first date for either one of us at BYU. Since Jean was from California and I was from Idaho, how grateful do you think we are for BYU? 5 years later, we were married in the Los Angeles Temple. Those were five exciting, frustrating, trial-ridden years, but we knew what was right, and despite serious challenges, things worked out, as they always do, with the Lord's help. We loved one another then, and now, 49 years later, 11 children and 33 grandchildren later, we love each other more than ever. Joy comes from true love. This joy is available to everyone if they will just follow these three simple steps. First, learn the truth. Second, promise to live the truth. And third, live the truth and trust the Lord that when you have done all you can, He will come to your rescue. Love is largely an eternal commitment to think of and help someone else, especially a wife or husband or child, more than yourself. If we keep helping others regardless of their reciprocation, our soul keeps expanding, and eventually we can become like unto God, helping others with no limits. To me, the opposite of love is not hate, but selfishness or indifference. Selfishness shrivels the soul. Constantly thinking of and protecting ourselves causes us to become smaller. And if we persist in this, we eventually shrink down to practically nothing. A good sign of how truly we love someone is how anxiously we help them, even at the expense of our own convenience. The truest love of all is the Savior's love and God's love for us. Think of the Savior's commitment to suffer for us and even to lay down His life for us, despite the almost total lack of appreciation of those around Him at that time. What others do to us is almost incidental. The eternal principle of growth through true love, that is, by helping others, lies within each one of us. And when this true love lies within both husband and wife, we can literally experience heaven on earth. I have. I hope you all will. I love the Lord. I love my wife. I love my family. I love BYU, and I love all of you. Again, the pattern for growth and joy in this life: learn the truth, promise to live the truth, keep that promise no matter what trials may come by trusting the Lord to help you, and I promise you He will. The first principle of the gospel is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having faith in Him, to me, means to trust Him. Trust that what He tells us through the scriptures, through prayer, through inspired teachers, through good leaders and parents, is right. Trust that He will help us keep our promises, By making up the difference when we have done all we can, I personally know he will. Some examples that would apply to you, particularly when you come to BYU, you're given a code of honor. Study it, pray about it, learn that it's right, then make a promise to keep it, and then keep it. The Lord will help you do so, and you'll grow. Missions. Gain a testimony that you should serve a mission. I'm talking particularly, but not exclusively, to the young men. Promise yourself and the Lord that you will serve. And then serve. Serve the Lord with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. I promise you the Lord will help you. And both you young men and young women must help one another stay worthy and focused on this goal. The Lord will help you. Temple marriage. Gain a testimony that marrying in the temple is what the Lord wants you to do. Make a promise that you will do everything in your power to be married in the temple. Always live worthy and trust the Lord fully that that desire will be fulfilled in His own time. Then, of course, do it. Get married to the right person at the right time and in the right place. Once you know it is right, don't delay unreasonably. The Lord will help you. And to those already married, continue to keep those eternal promises with the Lord as a partner. School, of course, you're all here in school. Decide on an area you can do well in. Promise to do your best, and then do your best. And again, the Lord will help you. This is the law of eternal progression. There are many other examples. Recently, the movie The Other Side of Heaven was produced. The person who had the vision is a former BYU graduate, Mitch Davis. 3 years ago, he approached Bookcraft to purchase the movie rights of the book In the Eye of the Storm, which I had written several years before at the request of a church leader whom I greatly respect and didn't dare say no to. Bookcraft said they were willing to sell those rights, but felt Mitch should first talk to me. Of course, I was very surprised. Gene and I were uncomfortable with the possibility of having our lives, quote, on the silver screen. It may be some people's dreams, but it definitely was not ours. Let me state clearly that I do not feel that my mission was any more special or purposeful than any other person's mission. Everyone's mission and everyone's marriage is special to them because it is theirs. And if they put their whole heart and soul into it, God will make it eternally meaningful. When Gene and I met Mitch, we were impressed with his integrity and his credentials and those of the Hollywood team he had assembled to make this movie. I talked to my church leaders, and they said, if Mitch and his team promised to remain true to the spirit of the book, they would, quote, raise no objection. Mitch made that promise, purchased the movie rights, and he and his team began the difficult task of raising money, and incidentally, there's no church money involved, it's a private venture, adapting the book to the screen, selecting actors, shooting on location, editing, getting the music, and on and on. Despite many challenges, they persevered and did it. Now think again of these three steps in this area. They had a confirmation that it was right to make the movie from this book. They made a promise to keep the movie true to the spirit of the book, and they did it. There were many trials, but with the Lord's help, they did it. They accomplished their goal. At this time, we will view the theater preview of the movie, after which Mitch Davis will take a few moments.
Dear Gene, I don't know if I'll be alive when you receive this letter.
John Groberg left his world.
Come on, Gene. I want to show you something.
His love.
It's like heaven.
You know how many miles that light traveled to shine on you?
I think you were worth the trip.
And his family.
You're hereby called to serve the people of the kingdom of...
Tonga!
No matter where they send me, we'll be underneath the same moon.
For a journey that took him to the center of the Pacific.
Well, you have two assignments. Learn the language, build the kingdom.
and into the heart of a people.
What about our greeting party?
Dear Gene, things are okay here in Tonga.
They are saying you are white and soft. I think they are right. My tongue. I can't feel my thumb.
Here come my tongue.
I've made progress with the language, and the work is going much better.
I hurt my ankle.
Dear John, it's hard to have so much faith in us when you're so far away.
Oh, boy.
We spotted the ocean at the head of the trail. Where are we going? So far.
Why do you have such faith in me?
You traveled so far to teach us what you say must be true.
There's a connection between heaven and earth. Finding that connection makes everything meaningful, including death. Missing it makes everything meaningless, including life.
From the Academy Award-winning producer of Schindler's List and Jurassic Park, starring Christopher Gorham from A Life Less Ordinary and Anne Hathaway from The Princess Diaries, The Other Side of Heaven.
With Elder Groberg, it is so good to be here with my lovely bride, who I also met and courted on these hallowed, on this hallowed campus. Several years ago, I had a very dramatic experience regarding trusting the Lord. I was backpacking with my 10-year-old son, two of his friends, and our faithful dog, Pluto, when we were hit by lightning. We were hiking above timberline when a sudden storm blew in. We pitched our tent, and I put the boys inside their sleeping bags to keep them warm. Started fixing dinner on our little camp stove. Then, suddenly, I was gone. Although I have no recollection of the lightning hitting me, the boys tell me it blasted through our tent's roof and hit me square in the chest, that I flew backward and landed on the floor unconscious with my eyes open but rolled back into my head. The bulk of the strike passed through my chest and into the dog who was sitting behind me, killing him. The rest of the lightning curled down my right arm, struck the boy next to me, then danced wickedly about the tent, burning holes in sleeping bags and striking the two other boys. But I knew nothing about this. In my mind, at least, I simply ceased to exist. After some time, I became aware of myself again. I began to be able to hear. And although I could not see or move any part of my body, As if from a great distance, I could hear the boys screaming. I heard my son cry out, "Dad, please don't die." One of the boys leaned over and gave me a single puff of artificial respiration. I guess he thought that's all I was worth. The third boy promised God he would never do another bad thing in his entire life if Brother Davis would just wake up. But I couldn't wake up. I could only lie there, helpless, wondering what in the world had happened to me. Then I became aware of something else, a dark presence I can only describe as impending death. I felt myself starting to leave mortality and realized that my only hope was divine intervention. I fought with every fiber of my being to call on Heavenly Father. Then a most interesting thing happened. Before I could call on Father, he called on me. Through the clear, unmistakable voice of the Spirit, he encouraged me with the simple words, "You served a valiant mission. Ask in confidence." Heavenly Father knew I needed extra faith at that moment. He knew I had faith in Him, but lacked faith in myself as a worthy recipient of the miracle I so desperately needed. So He sent me that encouraging message. "You served a valiant mission. Ask in confidence." Thus encouraged, I exerted every ounce of faith I had in a fervent, albeit frenzied, prayer.
Heavenly Father responded immediately, freeing me from death's grip. I regained consciousness, and several hours later, the strength to hike off the mountain with my boy, his friends, and the body of our dog. Now, I do not tell you this story for the sake of mere drama, nor do I seek to boast about my personal missionary prowess. I assure you, I was no more valiant than most missionaries. I tell you the story because of the significance of the Lord's choice of words to me. When my life literally hung in the balance, all that mattered were the 2 years of obscure service I performed in the villages of Argentina. How grateful I was that I had served a mission and that I had worked hard once I got there. I remember the great words of my stake president from BYU, Robert K. Thomas. If you're almost worthy, almost willing to make the sacrifice, you'll almost get the blessing. I wonder what the Lord would have said to me on that mountain had I almost decided to serve a mission. I'm so grateful the Lord Jesus Christ didn't almost atone for our sins. I'm grateful Elder Groberg didn't almost serve a valiant mission. And I know he is grateful his wife Jean did not almost wait for him. Today, more than anything else, I am grateful for you, the beautiful, blessed students of this, the Lord's University. You each have your own missions, past, present, and future. May you fulfill them valiantly, faithfully, and fearlessly. And during the dark times, may you hear the voice of the Lord whispering encouragement to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We will now see another brief clip from the movie. It is from a situation that took place after I had been out a little over a year on my mission. After this clip, we will be honored to hear from my wife, Jean. She will explain some of her feelings and tell how she came to send me a picture of herself, which helped me avoid some potentially dangerous pitfalls. Notice again the three steps: knowing, promising, doing.
What's wrong, Noli? What's bothering you?
You say you love us and are trying to help us, but you think you're too good for my daughter? Isn't she pretty enough for you?
Your daughter is very beautiful.
My husband offers you 100 acres of our best land. We offer you our daughter. And still you turn up your nose at us. What do you want anyway?
Well, I guess...
I'll make you a better offer. You do not even have to marry our daughter or live on our island. Just give us a half-white baby. And we will not say any more. Surely you cannot be so selfish as to not do that for us.
Well, it's not really a matter of...
What is it then? Our brown skin?
I love your brown skin.
Are you too rich to share your seed with poor people like us?
My seed? It's not that simple.
It is not that complicated either.
I cannot share my seed until I'm married. And I cannot be married until I'm no longer a missionary.
Take a day off then. There is not a man on this island who would not sell all he owns to spend 1 hour with my daughter.
Yes. Yes. And for that precise reason, she should save herself. That most beautiful part of herself for the man who will love her forever. Here, look at this. This is a picture of my true love. We want to be married for eternity when I return. So we promised that we would save that part of ourselves for each other. See how beautiful she is?
She is very beautiful.
She's keeping her promise to me. Do you think that I should break my promise to her?
Do you mean? But Pocky, you must keep your promise. Go now.
thank you for telling me. I will not bother you anymore.
Wonderful memories I have of BYU. I loved everything about it, my classes, my roommates and dorm life, my involvement in the church and school activities. John mentioned our first date. It was to the campus branch priesthood ball. We enjoyed devotionals, concerts, forums, talking and walking down campus, down the hill to an old swing. There are great times to be had without spending money. We both dated other people, but the more we got acquainted with others, the more we were drawn to each other. When John left on his mission, we agreed to write to each other. So for 3 years, I wrote Dear John letters. While continuing busy BYU life, which included dating, graduating, then going on to teach school. To help tell the story, Mitch adeptly used letters exchanged between box 58 Nuku'alofa'atonga and apartment 109 Richards Hall. The letters shown in the film are authentic. I loaned some to Mitch. We had saved them all these years because they played such a significant role in our lives. Often a letter John had written months earlier, it would arrive at just the right time, sharing an experience or some counsel that helped solve a concern I had right then. I began measuring myself and others to the mark of what I could tell John was becoming, and I knew I wanted to be available when he returned. The Lord blessed us both to be patient and always added extra help. During fall quarter of my senior year, I tried to think of something appropriate to send John for Christmas. I didn't want to distract him from his missionary work, but I wanted to send something. My helpful roommates encouraged me to send a photo of myself. Too presumptuous, I thought, as he had never asked for a picture, nor given me one of himself. But they persisted, and since I couldn't think of anything else I could afford to mail, I sent him one. Never did I suspect it, but at the same time, he sent a picture of himself to me. These two photos crossed in the mail, and both did great amounts of good on the other's end. Was it coincidence that my picture arrived in Tonga just in time to provide John a tangible form to reason with an otherwise unreasonable mother? I don't believe so. And all the letters I received at just the right time saying just the right thing, coincidence? I don't believe so. When we strive to learn the Lord's will and promise to follow it, then do our very best, the Lord will work with us where we are to help us get where we should be. He uses daily events and people in our lives to give us opportunity to keep our promises to Him. As we do all we can, He directs events and magnifies our humble efforts until His purposes and promises are realized, both in our lives and in the lives of those we touch. That is how we experience true joy. I testify that our loving Father in heaven knows and loves us individually. He sent us here at the right time and place to learn and grow and serve to our fullest potential. I know that Jesus Christ's all-encompassing love for His Father and for each of us, as expressed in His infinite atonement, has made it possible for us to return to their presence. I pray that we might do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This next clip is about the faith of a Tongan branch president. The only way to get from island to island in those days was by sailboat, so we sailed a lot. Two things sailors fear at sea are, one, being becalmed, and two, being caught in severe storms. Being becalmed is when the wind ceases to blow and you just sit in the middle of the ocean going nowhere. We were on our way to teach a family on a small island when we were becalmed. See if you can sense how the branch president followed the three steps of eternal progress, including repentance.
I have been thinking. You prayed for a tailwind. Perhaps there are others at sea praying for a headwind. We should make it possible for God to bless both by praying only for a good wind.
We'll each say our own. Get in.
To make it by sundown, we must go now.
Make it where?
There is a family that wants to hear the gospel. We have an errand from the Lord. Get in.
Stay the night there. We will have wind by the morning. Take this with you. Why are you doing this?
I didn't decide to serve the Lord until I was old and tired. Tired from all the sin. You were young and already give your life to Him. I cannot be young again. But today, I can be the Lord's wind.
We will now view the final clip, which is the other fear that sailors have, severe storms at sea. At this time, we had finished a successful circuit of preaching on several islands and were sailing home when we were hit by a tropical squall, which was fierce but passed quickly. Notice the symbolism in Jean's reaching out to save me. Many a man caught in the violent storms of life is saved by a faithful woman.
Get the- life.
Dear John, I am thrilled to hear about your new assignment, although I'm sure it is sometimes overwhelming. I felt that way when I finished school and took my first job down here in Anaheim. My friends are all back in Utah, my family in North Hollywood. Here I have only my students and lots of time to think of you. Are you well, John? Are you safe? Do you have time to think of me, or are you completely lost in the Lord's work? The scriptures say you find your life by losing it. And as much as I miss you, I encourage you on in that quest. Lose yourself, John. Every last bit of yourself. Then, when you come home, I'll know I'm in love with the version of you God intended.
I remember thinking when I was flipped out of the boat that this shouldn't be happening. I'm a missionary. Where's my protection? Missionaries aren't supposed to swim. It didn't take me long to realize I had better quit complaining and start swimming. Eventually, I made it to shore. In life, when unfair things happen to us, we shouldn't use energy complaining, but use it swimming. When things go against us, if we row or swim with all our might, the Lord will bless us and we'll make it to shore. Having experienced lives and elements in chaos, I appreciate more than ever the power and goodness of God in bringing order out of chaos, in organizing this earth, dividing light from dark, land from ocean, bringing plant, animal, and finally human life to this earth. Let us follow him, learn the truth, make promises to live the truth, and do all in our power to keep those promises. Sometimes we may feel becalmed with our lives drifting aimlessly. Other times we may feel we are in the midst of major storms. But if we try our hardest, I promise that God, through the power of his love, which connects heaven and earth, will help us, guide us, bless us, protect us. And despite harrowing times, will bring us safely back to shore, safely home. Has he not promised, "Be thou humble, and the Lord thy God shall lead thee by the hand and give the answer to thy prayers"? I know God, our Heavenly Father, lives. We are his children, his greatest creation. I know that Jesus Christ is the literal Son of God, that he lives and loves and forgives and helps and is close to each one of us. He is our friend. I know that. He is my friend. I have a personal and sacred witness of that fact. I know he is your friend also. And I know that each of you can obtain a personal witness of that fact. And when you do, it will give you more strength and direction in your life than you can imagine. Seek it. Find it. I know that God's plan is to help us all progress and eventually receive a fullness of joy. He helps us learn the truth. He helps us make promises to obey those truths, and he helps us keep those promises when we do all we can and trust him to do the rest. I know he will. I testify that this connection between heaven exists, heaven and earth exists. It is real. It applies to all people. We are all his children. God can reach down to you. Jesus learned and believed his Father's plan. He promised to do his part in fulfilling that plan. And through his overwhelming love for all of us, he fulfilled his part of the plan, that plan, despite the unspeakable agony he was called on to bear. He was true and faithful to his promise. He knows what it is like to cry out for help. He hears our cries for help. I know he fulfilled his preparations unto the children of men. Through his atoning sacrifice, I know he lives, I know his love, his power, his friendship, his help. I know that this is his church and that Gordon B. Hinckley is his mouthpiece on the earth today. And I leave my love and blessings with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.